All right, Wednesday night Krug show. John Chapman in the house. We got the dual stream going. The Chapman Kruger extravaganza begins in 3, 2, 1. Off and running Wednesday night on the Krug Show meets the John Chapman Experience. Chapman's here. We're fired up. We got a lot to get to. Ricky Pearsall's hurt. What's new? All the people talking down to me in the last couple months as I'm like, trade this guy. Krug, he's only had one injury. Yeah, it's just one injury that will never, ever go away. Oh, man. What can we say? But welcome to the Krug Show, brought to you by Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera, soon to open in Petaluma. Go get some brisket chili. I was just there the other night. Great spot. Oh, unbelievable food. Thank you, Pig and a Pickle. Also, the Krug Show is presented by Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. We'll do a lineup tonight. Prize Picks is super simple. You just pick more or less on player stats and choose your outcome, or you can choose game outcomes and build your lineup. It's available in most states, including this one. And Prize Picks is a brand new offer. Sign up with code HMA. Play your first $5 lineup. If you win it, you get $150 in bonus lineups. That's code HMA. Play $5, get $150 in bonus lineups if that first lineup wins. So thank you to Prize Picks. Also, thank you to Novato Chevrolet, NovatoChevrolet.com on the web. All right, let's get into the 49er discussion here. We titled the stream 49er Bad News. Oh, John, you probably heard the news by now. Ricky Pearsall at, you know, 3 days in from, he didn't practice today. Third day of camp. And where's Ricky Pearsall? And Corey Rush, the PR guy, comes up to us right in the middle of practice and says, hey, by the way, Ricky's out. He's got swelling in the knee. It's the same knee that he had the PCL injury in last year. They're very concerned about it. And who knows? I mean, I've heard whispers since then that maybe he'll have like PCL surgery. I mean, maybe that should have been done in the offseason, you know. But if he has it, it sounds like he would be all out for at least a couple months, if not more. I mean, you know, the old saying, you can't make the club in the tub. And you know, the most underrated aspect of wide receiver play is toughness. All the greatest wide receivers are tough. There's almost no wide receiver out there that was great that wasn't tough. And you just got to be tough. It's a super physical, demanding position. And this guy, because of this PCL injury, which to me looked like a bone bruise when he suffered it, he caught a ball on the sidelines in a game last year and then got thrown down out of bounds and he banged the knee really hard on the surface. And it looked like a bone bruise, but then we were told it's a PCL strain and he just couldn't come back. I think it was like 7 weeks, 8 weeks. He was gone for a couple months and then he came back. Then, you know, he hasn't done anything all off season. So he should be feeling great. We saw some footage of him training, but he had a knee sleeve on. People were like, oh, he's got a knee brace. And people were like, no, dude, that's a knee sleeve. Either way, who cares? The guy's got knee problems. He's got a bum knee. I mean, at this point, what do you make of the story of the day? Pearsall, knee swelling, tied to the PCL injury from last year, and his status, very much a question mark.
This injury happened in September, week 4, Larry, last season, September. Wow. And this is, okay, I'm very upset. And the frustration comes at many levels, which I'm sure 49ers fans definitely can sympathize with and understand. Like, this isn't so much of a Ricky Pearsall criticism. I know he's the one with the multitude of injuries and all the different reasons why he's missed 3 training camps in a row and why, you know, he just hasn't been able to put together a season staying on the field. So I get that a lot of the anger is pointed at Ricky Pearsall, and maybe rightfully so. Man, I look at this as just an institutional failure with how to govern the injuries of these athletes. This PCL is now a year-long injury. We're about to be in August, and now they're saying, man, everything is on the table. And if you do this PCL surgery, like you said, now, one, once you do that surgery, it complicates everything else because the meniscus is going to be involved as well. Like, you're looking at anywhere between a 7 to 10 month recovery, which if you would have done it in September, what would that have been? So the Niners roll the dice and they're like, look, let's see, maybe it'll just heal. He'll come back. He had an abysmal season throughout the, like, he never had, he had the Tennessee game where he had 6 catches, 96 yards. And then it just kind of fell off after that. But man, how did you not check up on this in the offseason? And you see the cool workout videos with him running cone drills and all that stuff in the offseason. Don't give a damn. Like, how did the knee swelling not take up, or where were you at during this whole process from September to now? And now you're like, oh, well, maybe we're more concerned. Like, I just don't understand. There is just a huge miss. And this is why people get so upset with the 49ers and the injury situation, because so much of this could be alleviated through just proper management of pre-existing conditions with players. That is why people get so upset. How is it that you have a player with broken ribs when the pads aren't even on, Larry? Like,
I know, it's amazing.
What are you doing? Like, we're carting people off the field for cramps? Dude, I've never heard of that in my life. As somebody that coached for, you know, 2 decades, that's never happened. Like,
They have 8 injuries
through 2 days
and through a couple days and no pads. Halton's got a knee. Lowe's got an ankle. Mustafa's got a hammy. Kirk's got a calf. Jordan James has got broken ribs. Ricky Pearsall's got PCL swelling. Collins and Garendo have whatever the heck they got. I mean, unbelievable.
And so, like, let me say this too, because, like, you list off those injuries and it's like a CVS receipt. It just keeps freaking yes, going, right? Like, and so, like, it's okay to get pissed off. And I know some people want to throw out the substation and whatever else. Some injuries happen. Knee bone bruise, okay? Yeah, offensive, defensive linemen, their knees bang. That happens. They're like, that is going to happen in football. However, soft tissue injuries, calf strains, and hamstring re-injuries, no. That is a mismanagement by the player and the staff for understanding what you are capable and ramped up, ready to go. So, like, the Kirk Cousins, the Christian Kirk, that, yes, that's a red flag on the organization and player. Malik Mustafa, this isn't his first hamstring strain. That is a red flag on the organization and the player. The Ricky Pearsall thing, hell yes, that is a fireable offense for whoever is in charge of this. Like, you are screwing up a player that we counted on all offseason by your mismanagement of how to handle this. Now, the back issue for Andrew Farmer, back-end player, not really, that's not one of the ones that raises alarm bells. The bone bruise, not so much. The high ankle sprain, no, not really. The ribs, the calf strain, the hamstring, and Ricky Pearsall, hell yes. That is, meet me in my office. Somebody's getting their ass chewed out over and over again, including the players. But nothing's going to change. Dustin Perry's been with the 49ers since Kyle Shanahan's been there. He's only been promoted. And you look at these constant re-injuries in the certain situations, it's absolutely ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. And I'm not one of these guys, Larry, that usually gets fired up about stuff towards the organization and whatever else. And, like, I'm a happy, lucky guy.
Very positive towards the organization generally.
Well, this is bullshit. This is heads need to roll over stuff like this. And for the people that's like, oh, it's a Kyle Shanahan issue, Kyle's ain't even there. Like, so I don't know. I'm frustrated. I know 49ers fans are frustrated. And I think that is appropriate through 2 practices. Now, the 3rd one was today, but all these injuries. And that's another thing, too, because Kubiak gets up there, has the pre-practice press conference, doesn't address any of this. He's not really the head coach. I understand that. Practice starts, and then it gets leaked out through you guys, which, damn good job, Larry. You are crushing it, by the way. But it's just like, dude, even the way they're doing it, it's just like, oh, and by the way, everyone's injured.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so frustrating. One, you know, I got a little pissy at in one of my videos today because I started thinking about all the people that were crushing my ass when I kept saying this guy was freaking glass. Who was right? I mean, I don't know shit. I don't know. I don't know much about history. I don't know much, but I do know that I love you. You know, all that. I do know my team, and this team. You know, I know the teams that I root for, and it's like I know when a player is injury prone, and this guy is injury prone. And it's just there's no question about it. If you looked at his ball skills at Florida and ASU, they looked amazing. Go look at the actual. Look at his football card. He didn't have big numbers at Florida or ASU. He didn't put up big numbers. He made some amazing highlight reel catches, but he didn't have star, you know, unbelievable numbers because he can't stay healthy. I mean, it's the NFL. You have to be able to stay healthy. I mean, last year you had Juwan Jennings playing through like five different injuries, and this guy's sitting out 7 weeks on the PCL strain. That looked like a bone bruise when it happened. So I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but you know, the one thing I think we've learned is that you can't count on Ricky.
No. And for people who are like, okay, you got to cut him and move on. That's not the way NFL rookie contracts work. If you cut them, it actually costs you money. So like the money is allocated. It is there. So cutting him doesn't work. Trading him now, you cannot do. No. Like, you can't do that. Trading injured players is like a misnomer. It doesn't really, really happen. So what you have to do is you set them aside, and the decision has to be made. Like, this isn't once. This isn't twice. This is three times with the PCL. You need to have surgery. You put them on the shelf. What I would probably do is I would wait 3 weeks, see if the swelling goes down. Put them back out there, running routes, whatever else, and then surgery, because it's not going to affect your timeline for this season if you hold off. If he has the surgery, the season's done, postseason done. There's not have surgery now. He might be back for the playoffs. No. If you're going to do this, like, all right, cool, wait 3 weeks. Let's see if he can get out there and run, and we just put him on, you know, he's running 20 snaps a game. That's it. Maybe do that, but, oh, dude, this is – cataclysmic failure at managing your assets. Just horrible, horrible, horrible.
Well, and just picking the wrong guys. You know, it's like they wouldn't admit it, but I mean, they go into these drafts and it's like we gotta have a guy at this position. And it was like there was a bunch of receivers you could have had there. You could have had
Ladd McConkey was
could have had Ladd McConkey. You could have had Xavier Leggett. You could have had Keon Coleman.
I would have taken Zach Frazier personally. I would have traded back a couple spots, but whatever. That's a whole nother.
Yeah, I was saying get Zach Frazier as well, the West Virginia center, who's now like one of the NFL's better centers playing for the Steelers. And the guy was a fighter and a wrestler, and it was like such an obvious great pick. He was a plug-and-play guy. Instead, they get a receiver, and there was no pressure on Ricky at the beginning to play. None. They had JJ, they had Ayuk, they had Debo. It was like this guy was just there. He was on scholarship, and he still disappoints them. Even though he didn't, he had plenty of time to get used to the physicality and the rigmarole of the NFL schedule and everything else. This guy's played in 2 years. He's played 20 games and missed 11. That's a lot of misses. It's a lot of misses. So I don't know what to say about this. You know, it would have been nice to see them kind of like, you know, spot him, build up his trade value and trade him. But he can't even stay healthy long enough to play in two or three games. And the feeling that you get around the guy is that he's always going to play pretty well when he's in there. They got an offense that works. You got a quarterback who's accurate. He's got good ball skills. He's not slow. But then you sit there and you go, well, wait a second. This guy's got to make his bones in the middle of the field. And I like how everybody, just because he's Caucasian and Julian Edelman's Caucasian, he's Julian Edelman. The fuck he's Julian Edelman?
He's way bigger.
And Julian Edelman's 10 times tougher. 10 times tougher. I mean, Julian Edelman, are you kidding me? Julian Edelman's one of the toughest receivers that ever played in the NFL. you're going to compare Ricky Pearsall. And then the scouting report this year on the ASU receiver by Bob McGinn, who's talking to anonymous scouts. And it was a total indictment of ASU as a program. They're like, they don't grow them real tough there. And he was talking about the receiver that went to the Saints, I believe. But they were like, the anonymous scout was like, yeah, he played at ASU and they don't grow them real tough there.
I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak. You get 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, 4 sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's 3 easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees.
Well, great, you know, awesome. So the key element of being a receiver is toughness, and everybody who scouts football knows that. But the Niners then draft a receiver that may lack toughness and doesn't have high pain tolerance. And suddenly he can't get on the field, and he's always, you know, he's always kind of, he needs to be 100%. Guess what? If you need to be 100%, you're going to play like 30% of the games because you're not going to be 100%. It's just not the way you're never 100% in the NFL. There's an old saying, in pro football, when you get to November, everybody's hurt. Tell me when you're injured. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's got a bone bruise. Everybody's got an elbow that's barking. Everybody's got ribs that are sore. Everybody's got something. And it's like Ricky can't play with something. And you got to be able to play with something. So,
and you ever heard Clay Kubiak in today's presser whenever you asked him about Seattle? Great question, by the way. And he was like, yeah, one of the things he said, like, man, we had a third down to Ricky and he didn't come up with it. And it's like, dude, that dude played 42 snaps in the playoffs against Seattle with 0 catches. Yeah, I get it. He wasn't 100%. I understand that. But as you said, not everybody's 100%, man. Like you got to get out there and contribute in a positive way. And if you have to have everything perfect all the time, that's going to be difficult. Now, the one thing I do want to kind of not push back on, but just add some nuance. When Ricky has been healthy, He has put up productive numbers in this offense and is a perfect match for Brock Purdy's skill set. But that means absolutely nothing if you can't even get through training camp. He's now 0 for 3 in training camp. You remember he had two shoulders his rookie year.
The word is tease. The word is tease. He's a tease. He teases you with talent and then disappoints you with production. And he's a nice guy, too. That's the other thing,
yeah,
too.
It's good
like
kid.
It's a hard thing to be like, Ricky, because he's a cool guy. He's a nice guy. And you know what? There's something really like serious about him. And he's like a no BS kind of a guy. And I mean, there's lots of things to like about Ricky. I like Ricky. That's what kills me, too. People are like, you can't stand Ricky. No, I just want to trade him because you wasted a first round pick. And here's the other problem. Is that the Niners, and this is the problem, this is the problem of this regime. You say, what's the problem of the regime? Well, they've been pretty successful, but they haven't won the Super Bowl. What's their problem? Do they have a problem? They keep fucking up the draft, and so they have to redraft guys at the same positions over and over and over again.
Wide receiver this and running
back.
They're
backs. Drafting Stribling. Why? Because Ricky Pearsall can't play dead or he can't get on the field. They're drafting Romello Height really high. Why? Because Mikel Williams had one sack. You know, they drafted Drake Jackson way too high. Why? Because Solomon Thomas was a bust. You know, they drafted Javon Kinlaw too high. Why? Because they needed to have somebody post. They had to have a defensive tackle post Defoe. You know, so it's like they keep doubling down and, you know, they have to redraft over and over and over. And you can see it. It's all right there. They screwed up on Joe Williams. So here comes Trey Sermon. They screwed up on Ty Davis Price. You know, it's like, and Niner fans were like pissed at Kalon Black's drafting because not because Kalon Black can't play or that they didn't like Kalon Black, because they redrafting a running back in the third round and they've tried this stupid move over and over and over again, and it never seems to work. Now, I think they hit on Kalon Black, and I said so at the time, even despite the fact it looked bad based on their trend of drafting running backs early. But they just keep screwing up their picks and then doubling. You know, they can't – Solomon Thomas, and then all of a sudden, here comes Drake Jackson, and then here comes this guy and that guy. And Mikel can't sack the quarterback. Now you got to reach for Romello Height and – instead of drafting a position and moving on, they have to draft it and then redraft it and then redraft it and then redraft it. And it's inefficient. It's caused them to waste a lot of picks. And I think it's the number one reason that they haven't won the Super Bowl is that they're not hitting stars. Like, hopefully Kalon Black or Stribling or one of these guys is a star. Because when was the last time the 49ers drafted a freaking star?
Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Brock Purdy. That was a couple years ago. And that was lucky.
Yeah.
It was lucky, yeah. And it was a couple years ago. So the Pearsall thing is frustrating. They do have a whole bevy of other receivers. Like, I as far as them, I don't really worry about them. I like what I see from Wesley Grimes. I like what I see from Will Pauling. I really love what I see from Stribling, and I really love what I'm seeing out of Jordan Watkins. Cowing still seems to be too fragile and too soft and too, you know, he can't take violence. Every hit looks like it hurts him. I'd be shocked if he has the physicality to make it through an NFL season. He just doesn't strikes me like Danny Gray. Just too, every hit hurts too much. He's just too small, too weak to really have an impact in the NFL. Maybe I'm wrong because he does have a lot of skills, but that would be my analysis. So I don't know what to say other than I don't know that they need to do anything, John, right? I think you could look around to see what wide receivers shake free at the deadline. You know, you could always trade for a Jordan Addison or a Brian Thomas Jr., try to get somebody like that, and I would be all about that. But I don't think, you know, I don't see that. They've got a lot of receivers in their camp, and they might be able to just get by without Pearsall. And just because one of these other young receivers kind of comes of age. So we'll see how they play their hand. But, I mean, Ricky Pearsall, I knew he was going to disappoint us, and he did. I wasn't expecting much, and I get less. I was expecting him to play, like, maybe 5 to 8 games, and we're maybe not even going to get that.
It's rough, man. You brought in five wide receivers this offseason, though, so that's good. The bad thing is, yeah, Kirk, one of the ones you brought in, and now, and it doubles up, right? The problem with NFL teams, especially in training camp, isn't injuries. It's not even the number of injuries. It's stacking injuries at the same position. So now you have not one, but two Z wide receivers that are missing time at the same time. That is problematic, and that's why the 49ers held, you know, tryouts today. They had three wide receivers come in for a workout afterwards because, man, we need more Z wide receivers. Like, yeah, we can push Stripling over. We can push DeMarcus Robinson, who's a vet, and he can do some of those things. And you've got the undrafted free agent guys. But, man, at some point, we need more bodies to run these routes for this Z position so we're not pulling guys out of the position we want them to be in to take those things. And so that's the problem, the stacking of positions. You're doing it the same thing on the defensive side as well with the defensive tackle room, Grayson Halton, Alfred Collins. Like, that is a killer. So when you stack these injuries, that's where you start scrambling. And, man, you're just trying to fill snaps and trying to hold practice. And because if you don't fix that, now your wide receivers are running more routes than you wanted them to, and the injuries just keep going. That's how the soft tissue stuff happens. So they're behind the eight ball and they're scrambling a little bit, and man, it's so frustrating to see. I get all the Debo questions. I'd entertain it a lot more now than I would have in the past. But
I only want Debo if he's in great shape and he's willing to take $2 to $3 million. If he's in great shape, right, and willing to take $2 to $3 million and embrace the role that the Niners have for him, which would be, you're the jack of all trades, but you're only starting at kick returner. You're a starting kick returner. Other than that, you're RB5 and you're WR7 or something like that. I mean, that the three receivers they brought in today, Alex Backman, Dwayne Eskridge, Trent Irwin. Irwin played at Stanford. He's slow.
I mean, Eskridge I liked a lot coming out of college.
He was fast. Never did it.
But that's what you're getting. It's either that or you're paying one of these long-term vets, you know, Keenan Allen, Diggs, Debo, those types of guys. The fading goat, man, maybe Tyler Lockett. I wouldn't be upset with that one, maybe. Not a yak guy, but, yeah, like, you got to pick. Do we pony up the cash? I don't think you do it yet because you're still in limbo with Pearsall. Yeah. Are you making the decision to shut him down?
You're not going to shut him down, but if he has to have the surgery, I would imagine he's probably gone for two months. Minimal. Kenny Powers says Larry called him the delicate vase earlier today. He is.
He never missed a game in college. Make it make sense. Yeah. Make it make sense, man.
He just doesn't have that build that says across the middle, and yet that's kind of where he's slated to play. So I never really felt truly great about it. But, man, I mean, it's just frustrating. It's so frustrating. I feel bad for him, too, because he's a good dude. He's not a bad dude. He's a good dude. He's a nice guy, and he's trying to have an NFL career. And big-mouth know-it-alls like myself are calling him, you know, glass and soft and this and that, whatever. Obviously, he's a football player, and I'm sitting in front of a microphone, so you can you know, judge that for what it is. But I call it straight, man. There are no sacred cows. There are nobody, you know, I'd rip my grandmother if it cost me a game. I mean, I don't care. I mean,
gotta wrap up, Granny.
Yeah, if you don't know me by now, you don't know me. I mean, I would rip anybody if they deserve to be ripped. And that's just the way it is. I mean, that's the way I view sports talk. I'm gonna say what I gotta say. And if you want to get in my face, then that's fine. But I'm going to say what I want to say. So, and I'm going to speak the truth because life's too short to lie about sports. You want to lie about religion, race, politics, go for it. But if we can't be honest about our sports, what the hell does that say for us as a society? And that's how I view it. And so that's my philosophy when it comes to this channel, when it comes to my radio career. I've had multiple stints because I do say what I feel, and that can rub people the wrong way. And I will get into disagreements with people all the time, and I may even insult some people. But you know what? I'm going to be honest about it. I'm going to be very straightforward. I'm not going to I'm not passive aggressive Pat over here. I'm coming with both fists balled up. Let's go. And that's the way I do it. I don't dislike Ricky Pearsall, but I would love to see the 49ers get him healthy and trade him. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's just so disappointing that they've wasted a first-round pick on a receiver. The good news is that DeShon Stribling looks absolutely amazing, and he's running away from the defense. He's big. He's strong. He likes to block. He's mature. He's calm. He's tough. There's a lot to like there. So, I mean, yes, Pearsall has been, you know, this endless ray of injuries is tiring as hell, but Stribling looks like the real deal. And I think Watkins has looked amazing. And I actually kind of think Wesley Grimes and Will Pauling as undrafted free agents have looked really good. They both run in the 4.3s. They both seem like they've got pretty good hands. Grimes can take a hit. Pauling's got jumping ability, and he's quick, and he catches punts. He looks really good catching punts. So they probably have enough on, you know, as is to get by. But if Debo is out there and he's in shape and he's willing to take less than $3 million, I'd sign him.
Exactly. It doesn't cost you anything. You bring him in. At worst, he's a returner. He knows the Z spot to a T, did it forever in this offense. That's why I like it. I was pretty anti bringing Debo back, but, and I said it when we talked, guess a week ago, if Ricky got injured, then I would be interested. And here we are, not even a week later. And it's like, well, what do you know?
Unbelievable. Who could have saw this coming? Okay. What is your biggest 49er concern as we sit here on, what is this, July 29th? We're at the end of July. What is your biggest 49er concern? Is it the offensive line, the interior offensive line? Is it the pass rush? Is it the wide receivers now that Ricky looks like he might be hurt and it might be serious? Is it safety? Is it injuries overall? Is it the division? What's your biggest Niner concern end of July?
You know, the thing that stood out to me, one, there are certain position groups that were just light going into the offseason that were not addressed. And I think, you know, you read through the reports and the training camp practices and all these things, like, where are the tight ends at? What is happening at that position, which has been a stalwart of production? A lot of that because of George Kittle, but you look at the Shanahan coaching tree and the offensive prowess across the NFL, tight ends flourish in this offense. What is happening there? Yeah, I like that they signed Tonjes. I get it. Luke Farrell, nobody's, you know, a fan of his offensive production. Tight end just seems to be, man, are they just wasting a spot out there with the tight end position? I know they do a lot of two tight end sets, but I am so concerned about what this is going to look like in the run game and passing game. And I don't think that they have the depth. I don't think that they have the adequate players. Now, maybe George Kittle comes back and makes a miraculous recovery and is out there week one, which would alleviate all concerns. But for that first month of the season, that tight end room, man, I am beyond concerned with how that's going to shut down the run game. Your pass protection, I feel no confidence in anybody there pass blocking, Luke Farrell or Jake Tonjes. I don't know. This is a concern to me that has not been addressed in back-to-back seasons. I'm a little worried about it. If Kittle doesn't come back and make a miraculous recovery, do they have the depth to make it through the first month of the season without Kittle, without it just killing the offense?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, first of all, Kittle should not be back until at least October. And Tonjes looks great. I will say that. Tonjes really looks great. I mean, he's catching everything coming his way. He's got great hands. He's even a little bit more athletic than he was last year. He looks a little bit more explosive. Farrell is just a guy. Willis and Rucci are less than a guy. So I personally, the guy that I really like is the other guy, Tanner McLaughlin, who they just picked up, who played at Arizona.
That should tell you something. The guy that you just picked up is already the number two looking guy out there.
He's a receiver. He's a real receiver. And now, I'm not giving Willis, Rucci, or Farrell much time looking at them because I just don't believe. So I'm looking at a tight end group that has a new tight end coach, no Kittle, Tonjes, and now Tanner McLaughlin. Now, I do like what I'm seeing out of McLaughlin in that he's a competitor. He's a try-hard guy. He believes he's a good blocker. He's not a good blocker. He's an underpowered blocker, but he's a really good receiver. And I haven't seen him drop a ball or even look at all, you know, sketchy at a ball. I mean, this guy plucks it with his hands. He catches it with confidence. He's got movement abilities. All of 6'5", 245, 250. He doesn't have that 265, you know, blocking. He's not going to move people out of the hole. He's not a blocker. I mean, Dinkins was a blocker. They dumped him because of the injury, and then they went with McLaughlin. McLaughlin's not a blocker, though. He's a receiver. I actually kind of think that this is set up to have Tonjes and one other, and then Enrique Cruz, because I think Enrique Cruz is not going to be the third tackle. I think that's going to be Vidarian Lowe or Austin Pleasance. And then I think Enrique Cruz, they just drafted him. They love him. He was a fifth-round pick. He's super athletic. I think they're going to use him as a blocking tight end. I really do.
Man, I hope so. There's not a lot of – Trent Williams did it one play, which was awesome, and it worked, and then they never went back to it again. But, like, I would love for the Shanahan, Kubiak, somebody to get a little creative with that because it works. I was at the Bills game, you know, whenever it was snowing like 3 foot and the entire second half. I remember they went on a 14 play drive with an extra offensive lineman in there and just ran it down the 49ers throats. And we stayed in nickel the whole time. Thank you, Nick freaking. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that defensive coordinator, but like, yeah, like I would love some of that. Luke Farrell is going to make this roster because of the contract. You cut him. You're not cutting him based on what he's getting paid. He is a quality special teamer. But, yeah, man, I would like that. Have you seen any tackle over or extra offensive tackle or Enrique out there running routes?
Nope.
Because you got to put a different jersey on him if you're going to do it.
No, haven't seen that. My biggest concern would be pass rush. I mean, I think the interior O-line could be upgraded. The Shanahan – accident, not concerned. I think they've got some safety options. I like some of the backup wide receivers. I'm not as concerned about the substation or the injuries, and the division's the division. But I'll say pass rush. I just think if they have pass rush, their defense is going to look good. If they don't have pass rush, it's just not. And it's hard. You know, it's really hard to develop a pass rush. But I definitely think that's their biggest concern. That would be my biggest concern for them.
What is your confidence level in Raheem Morris manufacturing pressure if the four guys that are coming aren't getting it? Like, because with Robert Saleh, there was no confidence in him outside of just four guys winning, you know, 4 against 5. But I do feel a little more confident that Raheem can generate and create almost out of nothing with the pass rush. Where do you stand on that confidence level wise?
Well, he's definitely shown that he, you know, believes in blitzing and more pressure and playing more man. And I just think he's going to overall, I like that he's going to challenge the opposition a little bit more, right? He's not going to sit back and, you know, rush four all day and play cover three. And, you know, no, he's not going to do that. He's going to walk a fifth guy up on the line of scrimmage. He's going to give you some sim pressures. He's going to change it up. He's going to be multiple up front. He's going to be multiple on the back end. He's going to give you more to think about, more to chew on. So I think I like kind of the bones of his scheme. You got to have that pass rush, though. You got to have that pass rush. In fact, they added two more rushers today. They added Quentin Bell from Prairie View A&M and KJ Henry, who played at Clemson. And they said goodbye to William Bradley King and Andrew Farmer II. So they're trying to, and Bell's interesting. He runs in the 4.5s, 41-inch vertical, 11.4 on the broad jump. That's Nick Bell's nephew. Remember Nick Bell? I don't know if you remember him, but he played at running back for Iowa back in the day. And then KJ Henry won a national championship at Clemson and then won a Super Bowl with the Eagles.
He was the other side of Cleveland Farrell, wasn't he? It was Cleveland Farrell on one side and KJ Henry on the other.
And they're very similar in that they're both really, you know, this guy's smart guy, right? I mean, he's already got his degree. He's already got a master's degree. He was 2-time academic all ACC. This guy, KJ Henry, was very athletic at Clemson. He was a high character team captain, natural leader, and he can translate transition, you know, from speed to power. He's really good on stunts and twists, and you know they're going to do a lot of that. So, he made a couple of nice plays today. So, I mean, they're looking to try to upgrade their defensive line any way they can. And it will be interesting to see if they make a big move or if it's more kind of moderate, kind of under the radar type moves on that defensive line. What do you view as the biggest positive story through 3 days of training camp?
Man, I'm stuck. You told me about this question right before the show, and I'm waffling back and forth. There's two things that I love. One, quality defensive back play, which I don't feel has been the case since Steve Wilks was the DC, and I know a lot of people were out on Steve Wilks, and rightfully so. But like the safeties, the corners all played really, really well under him. And so now you're getting guys like Jair Brown returning to quality play like you saw with Steve Wilks, Renardo Green, a lot of positive things. He was even at the podium today, and I really liked the way he kind of handled himself.
Yeah,
a little shaky start, but I was like, all right, like I know what this dude's about. And so like that was
he cool. He was good today, wasn't he? He was really good.
Dude, just a constant reemphasis of I'm going to battle with these guys. I want to fight. I want to compete. And that's what you want. Jack Jones shows up. Nate Hobbs shows up. You have depth across the board at the cornerback position. And Renardo says, all right, I'm him. And so much so they let him go to the podium. And I think that is huge. And now you're having both these sides, the coaches and the player feeding it into each other. And I think that's a huge positive. Iron sharpens iron. And you're seeing that. The second one that I just want to go to is Deshaun Stribling, who we've talked about. He matches the eye test, and I mean you could say he's had as many practices as Ricky Pearsall has in training camp, probably in the first two training camps he went through. Like, it's there. Will that translate? Can he sustain this? I don't know, but whatever the eye test and belong test, and does this work in the NFL? The answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest positive for me is the impact of Raheem Morris, because he's impacted more than one guy. You can kind of tell he's had a big impact on the secondary. Demo's talking him up. I think I've seen in the last couple of days, Renardo looked the best I've seen him. He played a lot of floor man-to-man at Florida State. He's played almost exclusively zone with the Niners. Same with Darrell Luter. He played all man-to-man at South Alabama. Now he's playing almost exclusively zone. Renardo looked good today. Luter had a pick today. Eli Apple has looked good. Jack Jones has looked good. I mean, Upton Stouts looked good. Saron Neal had a PBU today. I kind of feel like overall the not just the corner play, the defensive back play across the board has looked, the coverage looks tighter. They look like they're playing to a different standard. They look more comfortable playing man. They just seem more aggressive as a group. And to me, when you can add one guy in Raheem Morris, and then suddenly you're getting the best out of Jack Jones, the best out of Renardo Green, the best out of Darrell Luter, the best out of some of these guys. And all of a sudden you look around, you're like, wait a second, this is pretty good. This is going to work. So that's what I'm most excited about, is the impact. And from talking to the players, what they're saying about Raheem, how he's challenging them. And he wants, Raheem said, hey, I asked him about Jack Jones, and he's like, hey, look, he's going to make some big plays. He's going to give up some big plays, but he's going to, challenge people and get in their face and close down that space. And he's going to break on the ball, and he may break badly once or twice and give up a big play, but you can kind of tell that Raheem likes that. He wants guys who are going to play fast and physical and tighter coverage, more man coverage, tighter coverage. I think he's all about that, and I think he's the big positive. He's the big positive. All right, let's do this. Let's do our Prize Picks lineup right here, and then we'll come back. And I want to ask you about Vita Vea. All right, Prize Picks. We'll put that up on the board. There we go. We'll share that. We're gonna go with some Niners long term projections here. And we'll put us down here in the corner.
Can we bet under on Ricky Pearsall?
Yes. I think we'll be going under on Mr. Pearsall. All right. And we move that over. Boom. All right. Okay, perfect. All right. So thank you to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. The Krug Show listeners, Prize Picks is a brand new offer. Prize Picks is America's number one sports picks app. It's incredibly easy to use. Just choose more or less on a few player stats, lock in your lineup, and you're ready to go. Rather pick teams instead, you can do that now too. Pick the winner, the spread, or the total on your favorite games or fights. And here's the brand new offer. New users who play their first $5 lineup will get $150 in bonus lineups if that first lineup is a winner. Just download Prize Picks, use code HMA, and when you sign up, that's code HMA to receive $150 in free bonus lineups if your first lineup hits on a wager of $5 or more. Prize Picks is available in most states, including California, Texas, Florida. Lock in that first lineup and go get the dub. Prize Picks, code HMA, download the app today. All right, so let's go over here. I thought we could go. We've been doing a lot of season totals. Let's do some season totals on the Niners.
Ooh, I like. I'm seeing, dude. I'm going to spend all your money, Larry.
We can go with a three teamer, four teamer. What do you got?
Some good ones here, dude. Eddie Pinheiro over, more than 29.5 field goals. He did that last year, and he missed three games. Yeah. He made 6 50-yard field goals last year for the 49ers. The more or less is 5.5. Over 50 field goals. Like, I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, dude, like, I don't think you could bet the same player on multiple lineups there. But good gosh, man. I'm huge on that. Really, really big on the Brock Purdy over 3,799 pass yards. They're going to be throwing the ball.
Do you like that one more or less than the season rush touchdowns? You only have to have 3 rushing touchdowns to go over. To have more, it's the over under.
Brock likes to do the Dougie too much. He's going to get in that end zone.
I'm going to go more on that. I like that. Let's see. Do we have a Pearsall in here?
I think they probably pulled him.
They probably pulled him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're too smart. How about Mike Evans? What do you think of Mike Evans? 824.5 season receiving yards, 6.5 receiving touchdowns. I think that's a gimme. You don't think Mike Evans is going to have 7 touchdowns this year? They are going to look to him so much in the red zone. I think Brock Purdy to Mike Evans is a lock for a half dozen receiving touchdowns at least. Now, that gets you right close to it. That would still be under. But to me, that's a lock to have 6 receiving touchdowns.
If I think you told me
he may have 10 or 11.
You told me Mike Evans only played 10 games this year. I still might think more. Like, he's scoring touchdowns. He is going to be the first, second, and third read in the red zone.
Yeah, let's go more there. All right, let's take a look at what this will look like. We will put our – oh, wait a second. We have to pick somebody from
somebody. Oh, we got to add somebody on another team.
Okay, hold on a second.
God, they know we have insider info. That's why, Larry. They understand.
I don't like that. All right, so let's – move that out of the way, and now we can go back here. Do we want? Let's see. Now I made this so big here. What's going on? Why is it so huge?
Got to hit the Control Zero, and then it jump back out.
Control Zero?
I believe so. Uh oh. Nope. I ain't trying to mess nothing up over there, Larry. If it doesn't work, you guys, Larry's gonna fire me.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Hold on a second. We'll just pick something right here. There we go. Let's go with Derrick Henry less than 1,204. I think this is the year he goes under the total. And we will make our wager down here. We put that in. We actually bet 20 on it. And now this comes up. Let's see. It takes a second. But it will give us our lineup. And then, here we go. We can view our lineup down here. Why is this so huge?
That's what she said.
Exactly. Why is this so massive? All right. So this is there we go. This is our 4 pick power play. $20 pays us $200. We need Eddie Pinheiro to have at least 30 field goals. We have we've got Brock Purdy to have at least 3 rushing touchdowns. Mike Evans to have at least 7 receiving touchdowns, and Derrick Henry to have under 1,249 rush yards. If that happens, we go 4 for 4. Our $20 turns into $200.
Dude, that's a good one.
Thank you, Prize Picks.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. We'll move that back, and we'll push this back over here, and just like that, we're back. Okay, so thank you to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show, and they do an incredible job, and check them out. The link is in the description. A couple other mentions I want to get to before we get back to Vita Vea. West Coast Diesel's 10th annual event is coming up, and we're promoting it for them. It's Saturday, December 12th. Gates open at 10 a.m. It goes from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. It's at the Chris Beck Arena in the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, 1350 Bennett Valley Road up in Santa Rosa. What is it? It's the biggest diesel truck celebration in Sonoma County, featuring tractor pulls, show and shines, dirt drags, dyno, loudest exhaust competition, and so much more. Family-friendly atmosphere, nonstop diesel action. Ticket information, $30 general admission to enter your vehicle, your diesel into the show and shine. Kids 5 and under are free. Tickets are available now at West Coast Diesel locations on Airway Drive, Sebastopol Road, or you can purchase at the event on the event day, which is September 12th. So check it out in Santa Rosa, September 12th. The phone number is 707-595-3026. WestCoastDiesels.com on the web is the website. Check them out. Awesome event. Really excited for West Coast Diesels to be a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. Also, a couple other things I want to mention here. NevadoChevrolet.com. Thank you to Adam Rogers and Miguel Lopez. When I buy a Chevrolet, I only buy it from Novato Chevrolet. Appreciate that. I'm driving a green Chevy Blazer, courtesy of Novato Chevrolet. Also, thanks to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. The great Anthony Catania is at 831-521-5264. And August 7th, they'll have their Friday night trade night from 6 to 9 p.m. They're at their address, 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California. Thank you to Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles. last but certainly not least, thank you, of course, to Prize Picks, Pig in a Pickle, and of course, our friends at Novato Chevrolet. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention for you is that you guys know that our sponsor, Alamar Marina, alamarmarina.net, sponsors the Greg Cosell Show. And Greg will be on again tomorrow morning. We're going to do a little episode tomorrow morning with Greg. So we'll have Greg Cosell on tomorrow. Also, Brian Baldinger is going to be part of the Krug Show.
Baldy.
So we're going to have Cosell and Baldy on the show. One's going to be this week. One's going to be next week. And it's going to go like that throughout the football season. So Baldy on the Krug Show. Greg Cosell on the Krug Show. Both of those courtesy of alamarmarina.net. So thank you to all the good people up there at Alamar Marina. Fantastic restaurant. Float while you dine on the Sacramento River. All right. Let's finish up with a couple topics here. Vita Vea wants out. He went to Milpitas High School. Immediately people are like, the Niners. And then, you know, Jeremy Fowler says the Niners make a lot of sense. And, you know, that he thinks the Niners are a reasonable landing spot for Vita Vea. What do you think about, you know, one, I have a hard time picturing Jason Licht, the general manager for the Buccaneers, trading Vita Vea to the 49ers. But, you know, I also look at this situation and go, you know what, we don't know if Raheem Morris likes Alfred Collins or likes C.J. West. And what if he doesn't? You know, one of those guys was taken in the second round. The other guy was taken in the fourth round. What if you could trade one of your incumbent young defensive tackles that you don't think is a fit with a draft choice and get Vita Vea? You know, Alfred Collins in a fourth for Vita Vea? Would you do it? Vita Vea makes more than Alfred Collins, but he also is a better player than Alfred Collins. Better pass rusher for sure. What do you think of the Vita Vea talk? Is it just talk, or do you think it's viable?
Yeah, well, from three different sides, you have to look at trades. This is what I always go back to. Does it make sense for the 49ers, the player, and the opposing team? Vita Vea wants out. The Bucs are a dumpster fire. They chose Todd Bowles over the locker room. Mike Evans took less money to go elsewhere. Levante David retired. They didn't sign Baker Mayfield to the extension like they thought to. Now you got the Vita Vea hold-in taking place. Now, the Bucs have been very adamant. They are not trading him. They are not having those discussions. They are not whatever. So from their sides, no, I don't think it makes sense for the Bucs. But having a disgruntled captain in the locker room is not a good look. And he tweaked his back during the conditioning test, which is he's just doing the hold in. That's what it is now. Yeah, he's way better than Alfred Collins. And I'm an Alfred Collins guy. You know that. Like,
yeah.
But he's completely different. Vita Vea is a plugger pass rusher, whereas Alfred Collins is a run stuffer who possibly could contribute to pass rush later on down the road, but he's not there. And Alfred Collins not healthy. It's hard to trade players that are injured. That just doesn't happen very often in the NFL. Now, if you ask me, Alfred Collins in a fourth round pick for Vita Vea, hell yeah. And I'm president of the Alfred Collins like fan club. Yeah, I love that dude.
Yeah.
But Vita Vea, and I don't know what Raheem Morris, if he likes it, I'd tell you right now, every defensive coordinator in the NFL likes Vita Vea. He is very unique. Now
he overpowered Dom Pooney last year in Tampa. My God.
Everyone. I mean,
that was a clinic.
He's different, man. Now he's 31, and you're getting an $18 million 1 year expiring contract, and he wants more money. So are you willing to give up Alfred Collins, a fourth, up that to $25 million for, I don't know, he's 31 this season? You're going to sign him for a 3 year deal at $25 million? Like, what does that look like? That complicates things further. Yes, the 49ers should be interested. The offer I would give, yeah, I would offer a third round pick this year and a fourth round conditional that could become a third. And I would throw in a position like a Tatum Bethune or something where the Niners kind of have a cornerback. I would throw in a Nate Hobbs. I would throw in something along those lines. That's the way I would look at it. At least that's where I would start. But if it got up to Alfred Collins in a fourth, it's funny because in my notes, that's about as far as I would go. I would not do Alfred Collins in a third. I'm not trading a first-round pick. I'm not giving a 2027 second-round pick either. Now, if they wanted a 2028 second and that's it, I would do that. I would do that. But I would not give up a second for this upcoming draft.
I hear you. You know, it's the money is a big part of it. If you're willing to pay the money, a lot of times you can get a pretty good deal on the player as far as a trade. All right, two last thoughts, and then we'll bolt for the door. Smarter for the 49ers this summer to trade Mac Jones and keep Curtis Rourke as the number two long-term backup, or to go with the sure thing and keep Mac Jones and trade Curtis Rourke instead? If you had to trade Mac Jones or Curtis Rourke, you couldn't keep them both. I don't see the 49ers going with three quarterbacks. I really don't. I think they're going to go with two. Would you rather go with the guy who's ready to go right now in Jones and trade away the potential of Rourke? Or would you rather trade away the for sure backup that's going to play well and roll long-term with Rourke as your kind of long-term backup to Purdy?
What do you think? I have to make this decision before the 53-man cut down, I'm trading Curtis Rourke and keeping Mac Jones. The only way I'm letting Mac Jones out this door is if it is a Teddy Bridgewater, playoff competing team, you're going to rake over the coals and you're going to make them overpay. That is I am not offering up Mac Jones at this time. It just doesn't make sense to me. Now, closer to the trade deadline, if that happens, now worst comes to worst, you keep Mac Jones all year, he signs elsewhere, you get a fourth round compensation pick in the 2028 draft, but you got a year of Mac Jones. And I'm okay with that because of Trent Williams, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, these older experienced vets. The Brock Purdy injury won't ruin the season. So I would prefer, if you're asking me right now, Larry, I'm saying trade away Curtis. But man, the idea of trading away Mac, if a team is just, God forbid, you never want injuries to happen anywhere, but a playoff caliber team loses their quarterback and they call and they're like, look, we're going to give you a second rounder in the 2027 draft, which is loaded. I'm taking that trade. But I don't think that's on the table currently.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I'd move Rourke. And I think there's a very good chance that Rourke's going to play really well because he's
5 for 5 today, right?
Oh, he looked great today. Not only that, he's accurate. He's big. He's been in the offense for a couple of years. He now kind of knows what he's doing. So it's like he's going to play well in the preseason. If you're Indiana or you're Indianapolis and you're sitting there going, I could have a guy from Indiana while Daniel Jones gets right, the Colts might be a perfect team And Ballard and Lynch have a great
would do it too, because that dude just makes terrible choices.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I mean, how about Curtis Rourke and a draft pick for Latu? You know, if the 49ers are looking for another rusher, Liatu Latu,
that dude's awesome.
Would be a nice way to go. All right, let's go bold prediction. We'll finish with a bold prediction. And it doesn't have to be Niner related. It can be NFL related. Is there a team that you don't like? Is there a team that you do like? I have a team that I think is going to be disappointing, and I got a team that I think is going to be going to have a huge year.
Man, I go straight to the NFC North. That division is just wild to me. There's four quality teams. I don't think the Detroit Lions are making the playoffs.
Really?
I don't. And like, I know everybody loves their coach and there's so many great players there. I am worried to death about that defense, and their depth is just not there. I think they might have one of the worst secondaries in the NFL, and they are just losing guys like crazy. I know, and everybody loves the Lions because Dan Campbell. I get it. But that division is bonkers, man. And if the Vikings get that quarterback situation figured out and you just get adequate play from Kyler Murray, which I think they will, I'm going to say, and I could be wrong, and that's okay. And hold it over my head. I'm not a Lions, you know, guy. I don't break down all their film and all that stuff. But, man, I think the Lions could be in for a rude awakening. By the way, they finished fourth in that division last year. So
they finished last, and them in Minnesota tied for last. I think the Rams are going to miss the playoffs. I think the Rams are really, really thin. The Rams, you know, I think the Rams are thin. I mean, I think the Rams are thin on the offense. I think they're thin on the defense. I think they're just a thin football team. If they lose two or three guys, I think they could really regress. So I like the Rams to be a disappointment. And the team that I think is going to be huge this year, I like the Niners to take on the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game. I just look at Tampa Bay. Okay, they said goodbye to Mike Evans, but they picked up Ted Hurst. Ted Hurst was my favorite receiver in the draft. And then you still have Tez Johnson, and you got Godwin, and you got Jalen McMillan, and of course you got Emeka Egbuka. You got a really good offensive line, Tristan Wirfs at left tackle, Graham Barton at center, Cody Mauch at right guard, Luke Gadecki at right tackle. That's a good offensive line. And then you got Kate Otten, Payne Durham, the rookie Bauer Sharp at tight end, Baker at quarterback. I'm a big Baker fan. You got a really good running back in Bucky Irving. Then you picked up an underrated running back, I think, in Kenneth Gainwell. So they've got some nice things offensively. And then defensively, this team added Reuben Bain, Josiah Trotter, and Keontae Scott. And I think that might be the best lineman, linebacker, and DB all in one draft. I think this is like their Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks draft. Reuben Bain, that guy's awesome. Josiah Trotter is a total difference maker. And you look at that front, they got Kalijah Kansi. I mean, Avea stays, we'll see. But you also got Yaya Diaby. You got Antoine Winfield, Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame in year two, Jacob Parrish, Keontae Scott. I mean, you got some really good players. Really good. They brought in Chase Lucas from the Niners. I think that's a good, nice little pickup. So, defensively, you know, it's Todd Bowles and his 3-4 front, but he added Reuben Bain to his front, and I just think that's huge. And I think the Bucs have good weapons and a good offensive line. I think they're a very complete football team. I think the Buccaneers will host the 49ers in the NFC Championship game in Tampa.
Dude, we had it. If they do, I will be there. Our tailgate spot.
I'll be there too.
Pretty badass there in Tampa Bay. We've had a good time there. So you're thinking they're going to keep Vita Vea then, obviously, right?
Well, I mean, I also like some of the guys they got behind him. I mean, DeMonte Capehart, Elijah Roberts, Elijah Simmons. I mean, you've got some pretty decent defensive linemen there. And you also have Kalijah Kansi, and you've got, you know, Antoine or A'shaun Robinson. You got Reuben Bain. You know, they got some good defensive ends too. David Walker was hurt last year, but he's going to be healthy. So, I kind
that's
of
that's a lot of Larry guys. Like, you know, we do draft content every year together.
They took a lot of my guys.
Yeah, they got a lot of your guys over there, man.
I loved Keontae Scott, Damontae Capehart, Reuben Bain, Josiah Trotter. I mean, my God. I mean, that's and I just thought that they just had an amazing draft. I think Jason Licht is one of the most underrated general managers in all of pro sports. I mean, that guy's he knows what he's doing, man. I mean, he picked up Baker Mayfield for nothing. You know, he got his star running back, Bucky Irving, in the fourth freaking round. Their good tight end, Otten, fourth round pick, you know.
Bucky Irving went the pick right after Malik Mustafa, I believe.
This Ted Hurst kid from Georgia State is a stud, and they got him in the third round. So I think they had an unbelievable draft. And when you have an unbelievable draft and you add stars, I think you get better. And they, to me, Scott, Trotter, Bain, and Hurst are all star caliber draft choices, in my opinion. So we'll see.
And very winnable division. Carolina Panthers open. Have lost three players, like big time players.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's my bold prediction. Rams miss the playoffs. Buccaneers host the NFC Championship game.
I hope that happens. I really do.
Let's finish with this. We got some supers and some gems, some jewels. Can you explain to me the jewels?
I cannot. I wish I was smarter. It's very kind, and thank you, meal ticket. I know you're usually cussing me in the chat, and I appreciate that. yeah, thank you for your generosity, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you there, meal ticket. We also have this one from Old Dirty Hungus, 440 jewels, Unc Alert. Okay. I've heard that a lot from my kid this week. Thomas Selman, I love people saying the season is over in July. LOL. Did we say that?
We did not.
We did not. Yeah, I was going to say. This is not a super, but Niners _ worldwide. Larry, your video today was amazing. Which one? I did a couple videos today.
One of the hardest working men in the business, man. So much respect for you, bud.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate you. Tom Crown, Ricky Pearsall football career may be over. He can't stay healthy. I've noticed. We got this one from Tom Crown, Ricky Pearsall. Oh, we got that one. We got this one right here. We got this one from Uncle Rico. Let's not forget Kyle withheld info for 24 hours and is now the hero of the situation. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, that was like we needed. I felt so bad that this woman was being blamed. You could have, it came out on, you know, yesterday. You could have tweeted it like immediately. You didn't have to wait 24 hours. If something terrible came out on me, I would like somebody to put a retraction out there immediately. But there you go. Tuna sub 1,000 jewels equals goat trophy. Thank you. We got this one. Don't pick up Ricky's 5th-year option.
Niners haven't used any player's 5th-year option, by the way. Every player they have extended after year 3 or they have released. They have never exercised and allowed a player to play on the 5th-year option. Imagine if they let Brandon Ayuk play on the 5th-year option. Imagine the situation they would have been in if they just would have done that.
Oh, man. It's a ringing indictment of their drafting. I mean, it really is. Is Ricky Cynthia, Sin _ Cynthia. Hi, Cynthia. Is Ricky's body fit for the NFL?
6 foot, 200 pounds is ideal. It like he's never had knee issues before week 4 last year. I don't think it's the body. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's pain tolerance. As John said earlier, though, he didn't miss a lot of time in college. So maybe it's just bad luck. I mean, there is such thing as bad luck. Jesse Sapolu had 2 wasted years when he came out of college before he ever established himself and then became a near Hall of Famer and a 3-time Super Bowl champion. So it can happen. It can happen. Niner forever, fire or promote Lynch for Christ's sake. Bad GM. Promote.
He just wants him out of the GM role, which I would say Kyle Shanahan's the general manager. Every decision goes through Kyle. But yeah, I understand the comment.
It's frustrating. I know some of their misses. Bradley Lodge, 831, organizational failure in choosing or neglecting to deal with Ricky's knee far, far earlier. What the fuck are they doing? Also, do they not know how to practice broken ribs with no pads? Come the fuck on. Bradley sounds like me.
That's my burner account right there.
He sounds very frustrated.
Thank you, Bradley.
We got this one. Oscar, 2nd and Pearsall for Pickens. Pickens is not their kind of guy. Pickens is not a Niner. Bay Area Chris, 1,000 jewels equals goat trophy. Thank you, Bay Area Chris. Nice. That's going to do it for us. I said we were going to get out of here in an hour, and we're an hour and 6 minutes, so we're a little bit beyond.
I'll take it.
Yeah, seriously, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll take it. We'll run with it. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to John. John, what do you got cooking? What actually before we say goodbye? Oh, let's make sure, because I wanted to do this up front, and we did it up front last time, but we didn't do it up front this time. So hold on just a second here.
Yeah, I think you give me a chance to promo the Rush events, the tailgates, and all the parties we do.
No, it's actually a picture of you from no.
Yes, I was about to say, throw it up there, big dog.
You want the Melbourne one? We can put that. Yeah, up there.
Look, I'll just do a quick run through.
Let me share the screen on this bad boy. This is beautiful artwork. My God!
Shout out to my boy Rick, Ricky B.
Look at this.
He came up with that one.
That looks really good. So that's the 49er Rush Road Trip, Melbourne, Australia, September 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th.
It's a long trip.
Yeah, the road to L.A. right there. We could go with that, or we could close that. And we also have down here, or did you no longer pin it?
Oh, it's not pinned. Yeah, you only get pinned. A pin one on there. That's the problem.
That's one. Okay, well, we'll go back to this one then.
But yeah, if you go to any 49ers road game, come party with us. We rent out venues and traveled cities, so the 49ers fans have a place to go. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. We're going to be in Australia. We're going to be in Mexico City. We're going to be at Dallas, Atlanta, Seattle, and probably going to add another city. Probably going to be down in Los Angeles for that Chargers Thursday night game. So come party with us. It's
like
going to be a good time. 49ersrushroadtrip.com.
I was talking to Kev about traveling, and he's like, Dad, I think I want to go to Mexico City. So I'm like, wow, okay, dude. John's going. We might have to go there. Cass 8366, the jewels equate to money to the content creators, right? Yes, it does.
Yes, it's digital currency that I don't know the direct translation, euros to jewels to dollars, but I'm going to figure it out.
Excuse me.
But thank you for your generosity, everybody. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you for your generosity. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to John. Thanks to all of you. Have a great night. Definitely follow John on X and travel with him this year. We're going to be at a couple of his parties for sure. Thanks to John. Thanks to all of you. Have a great night. Check me out tomorrow morning with Greg Cosell. Also, I'll be on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. with Greg Silver, sitting in for Greg Papa on KMBR. And then Friday morning, believe it or not, I'll be doing the KMBR morning show from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. So I got a lot going on the next couple of days. So
stud.
I gotta sleep. I gotta go to sleep, man. I've been a lot of time on the practice field.
Quit being selfish, Larry. Come on, man. Seriously. I'm just messing with you.
I gotta give. I gotta be more of a giver. Anyway, thanks to John. Thanks to all of you. Thanks for watching us. Have a great one. Peace. Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you won't get exactly what you